the Missouri State Journal, a weekly program keeping you in touch with Missouri State University.
On average, each person is carrying around 10 gene mutations in their DNA that predispose them for a certain disease. You can thank your family tree for those. Recently, Dr. Paul Durham, director of the Center for Biomedical and Life Sciences at the Jordan Valley Innovation Center at Missouri State University, has begun researching epigenetics. This is the study of gene expression that doesn't involve mutation of DNA. Instead, environment can greatly influence which genes are turned on and off during your lifetime. He explains on this installment of the Missouri State Journal.
Well, one of the most robust ones is diet. You know, I mean, there's tons of examples. If you eat a certain type of diet, that you really minimize your risk of colon cancer, for example. Another one that's a real powerful one that is really close to home is smoking. Because, again, for people that smoke, there's a lot of evidence that basically you're increasing your risk of, you know, developing lung cancer and other types of cancer as well. The environment actually can impact you either in a positive way or a negative way. So it really depends on your predisposition and whether or not you have the ability to buffer a bad environment. My own real world example is that I have an alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, which actually is involved with lung elasticity. So it actually predisposes me to emphysema if I was a smoker. So if I don't smoke and I live in a pretty healthy environment, which the Ozarks is, and we have good air quality here, I really have never had any issues with it. And yet my brother, who has the same mutation, right, he went into the military and he, you know, got bored and he started smoking and he started developing emphysema. But the incredible thing about epigenetics is it's reversible.
Since the completion of the Human Genome Project, an individual's DNA can be mapped, and for approximately $1,000. Durham sees that this may one day become more commonplace, and it could warn individuals of their predispositions to certain diseases. He explains.
If we know that you're susceptible to a certain disease, I always use very basic examples, even like skin color, right? I mean, again, it's lifestyle choices. If you have fair skin and you don't take precautions when you go out in the sun, your risk of skin cancer goes up. So there's many examples like this. And I think some of the most powerful ones are some of the ones that have come from combining epigenetics and genetic studies, where they look at like lipid disorders in the African-American population, and they show that they're at increased risk for this mutation that increases the risk for cardiovascular disease. And if they eat the right diet and have a fundamental diet that's, you know, high in fruits and vegetables, they basically can turn those genes off for their whole entire life.
In addition to diet, Durham notes that exercise, sleep, and all the basic environmental and lifestyle factors really influence epigenetics. He uses his own identical twin uncles as an example.
When you really get down to it, most diseases are what we call complex diseases, meaning that there's multiple genes that are mutated to give rise to that disease state. There's very few examples. So when you really get down to the number of monogenic diseases that we talk about, so when there's just one mutation leading to a disease, examples of that would be like leukemia, but those are really rare. So when you look at things like what we study, migraine, epilepsy, other types of neurological diseases, they're very complex. So what we actually have found is that under 5% of all diseases can really be attributed to genetic basis. And really what it comes down to is the environment of the individuals. And I have this example of my uncles that were twins, identical twins. And so again, when you look at it, their genomes are identical. When they start off. And through their early childhood and stuff, they pretty much stayed on par. You know, when one got sick, the other one would get sick and so on and so forth. My dad would tell stories about this. As they got older and they got married and they kind of moved away, they actually chose different lifestyles. And so my one uncle who actually, smoked a little bit more, drank a little bit more, had probably a little bit more stressful lifestyle from a home perspective and such, he ended up dying in his 60s from cardiovascular disease. And my other uncle living into his 90s.
Much of Durham's research is on the nervous system, specifically the trigeminal nerve and orofacial pain. His team is just beginning to delve into how epigenetics factor in, and he notes that stress is one of the biggest contributors, and it can change things on the cellular level.
A little bit of stress is good because it initiates that fight and flight response. The problem with it is when you have chronic stress, it leads to chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation leads to chronic, problems. And when we tie this into like things like obesity, sleep disorders, even eating disorders and such, all can be related to stress. Because again, it's something that basically is out of balance.
That was Dr. Paul Durham, professor of cell biology at Missouri State University. I'm Nikki Donaldson for the Missouri State Journal.
For more information, contact the Office of University Communications at 417-836-6397. The Missouri State Journal is available online at ksmu.org.